Hey people, Rachel here. Welcome to what I'm calling for the moment, Rachel's Ramblings. What a better name for a podcast from a self-certified chatterbox. Whilst I was in the process of making Out, a show exploring homophobia and transphobia within Caribbean communities, I realised that there was a complete lack of queer black visibility. Where were our stories? I decided that a podcast would be a great way to share some of the conversations that I'd been having, and thus Rachel's Ramblings was born. With the show's themes as a starting point, I invited people to talk about their experience of being a queer person of colour in the UK. And what follows is a selection of those conversations, an opportunity to put the queer black British experience on the map. Today we are talking to Simone, and we are going to discuss the conflict she feels between her sexuality and her religious identity.
Okay, I am from, originally from Nottingham, born in Nottingham. I live in London. And my family are from Jamaica, my mum and dad. My dad is from, actually my mum and dad are both from St. Catherine. Well, my dad was born in St. Catherine but raised in Kingston. But my mum is from St. Catherine. She's from the countryside. So it's a place called Smoke Hole. It's in the gully. It's down in the like valley almost. So she was raised there, very much a country girl. Went there first when I was about 14. Saw the land and the family sort of graveyard, which was a bit scary. Not scary, it was nice, but quite poignant in a lot of ways. Do I feel Jamaican? No, because they call you English. They can spot you a mile off. Do I feel Jamaican here? Probably more so, yeah, in a way, because of and you with your family, the way you talk, food you eat, the sort of common ground of knowledge and things like that. I went to church, yes, so Covenant of Yahweh. But my mum wasn't really a church person, nor was my dad. Dad said you can praise God wherever you are, you don't have to go to church. But we were just sent to church, yeah, just because I think it's just easier.
Was going to a church important to you as a child?
I don't probably see at the time as a child, I didn't see the importance of it just because everyone in my sort of neighbourhood went, so it's just a thing you did on the Sunday.
What about now? Is church important to you now?
Yes, I suppose it is.
Why?
Why is it important? I suppose it sort of set a good foundation. We built. Gained some really good friends, some relationships in terms of call it fellowship, should I say. People that I'm still in touch with now. Yeah, that's why I feel it was important. I don't like the word lesbian. So probably gay, I suppose. Well, with my family, not much because we don't really talk about it. With my friends, yeah. They're okay. The ones that know, some friends don't know. I don't think it's important to me, but it's not the overall being of me, so it's fine.
If you put
my sexuality,
okay.
The ones that know are, how can I put it? I think they more see you as a person as opposed to they understand the conflicts that we bring up. In terms of the teachings of the Bible and what it says. I don't want to quote the Bible because I don't know the Bible inside out.
Okay.
But I was told that the Bible says that, you know, man and woman should be together. And being gay is not right. Well, you hear talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, how, you know, where people man and man or woman and woman together and that's not right, and obviously in the beginning, Adam and Eve and all that storyline. So yeah, they're the kind of the big messages that were obviously talked about a lot. At the time, I suppose when I was a child, I didn't really think about it too much, but more in my teenage years, you question, do I belong in the church because of my sexuality, or am I, was it made right? Does God doesn't love me, or Yahweh doesn't love me? Do I need to repent of my sins and be, so I can become straight and be as Yahweh would want? So I suppose there's the main conflicts growing up as a teenager. Well, they say that you must confess and you need to give a testimony, and you just ask God for forgiveness. And then with your sort of your faith and your dedication and more learn about the Bible and what it says and its teachings, you should become more like Yahweh and Yeshua would want you to become.
Have you ever tried to do that?
No. No.
And do you still, when was the last time you went to church?
When's the last time? Not within a year. It's more of a visiting church, not the church I was brought up in.
So you haven't, when was the last time you went back to that church?
Yonks, years. Long time.
Would you go back?
Yeah, probably more to see people as opposed to be a regular member of it.
How did it feel for you when you were last in church?
I suppose I felt okay because as I made peace with myself in saying that God, Yahweh, loves me for who I am, regardless of my, say, sexuality. And yes, there's other things in life I've not done as the Bible teaches, and for that I feel bad and you feel a bit shame. I felt, say, not say guilty, I felt like, yeah, I felt a bit shame.
You've used the word shame quite a lot, and I think that's really interesting. Can you tell me, like, do you want to explain that a little bit more? Where did you get that from?
That shame?
Yeah.
Shame, shame on your family name, no, I'm joking. It's like causing embarrassment, isn't it? You don't want to be causing embarrassment to yourself or to your family or, yeah.
Is that something that you heard of? You heard a lot,
yes,
when you were growing
up?
Yes,
yes.
So what kind of things would be shameful?
Like if you go out and people see you and they know you are and you're up to no good and you don't want that news to come back to your family, to bring shame on the family name or shame to the house.
Is that just big things that would cause shame? So like, I don't know, you went out stealing, that would be shameful. Or can there be smaller things? Is it like more nuanced than what?
I think growing up, you've obviously like it, things like, how can I put it? If you were caught, you had a little river lean when we were growing up, you were caught down there. And if anybody else caught you, you're like, why you go down the river lean for? You know, it's dirty and yeah, we don't brought you up like that. And then growing up, obviously, behaving at school, like if you got a bad report back to the house, your mum and dad will cuss you out, or are you bringing a bad report to the house? And then it kind of grows as you get older in terms of the level of shame. And I suppose it is still ingrained without me knowing it. So, yeah, it is quite ingrained. Sometimes I feel I would shake it off and, oh, like, come on now, big woman. But at the same time, there's certain things I probably want my family to know because I know that would bring shame or embarrassment.
Would you forego your happiness to prevent them feeling shame?
Well, I suppose I have done, yeah, so, yeah.
So, do do you know any, so in your church,
yes,
do you know any other people who are like gay, queer, lesbian?
Wally, there's lots of there's quite a few. Yes.
And do you, and they, are they people that you still talk to?
Yes.
Do you have conversations like around, it's pretty like conversations around your sexuality and your, and your connection still with the church? Like, is that?
Yeah, we've kind of joked about it recently, how, why are there so many gay people from the church? What's going on there? Congregation of your age, should I say. So yeah, we've had those discussions. But I think we've all kind of come through the messy period where people were kind of hiding it or felt ashamed by it, or, you know, I think people, some people were quite homophobic as well, towards each other, back in the day. So I think we've come through all that and we're able to acknowledge who we are. But the fact that we still went to the church, we still respect it in lots of ways.
Does it feel, is that like, is that quite comforting to know that they're like in, that that isn't just you?
Yeah, you weren't the only person.
You've got a particular set of people, I guess, that you have shared the same experience with.
Yes. But in, ironically, it's when we're not in the church now, we're kind of all left, if that makes any sense. Whereas when we were probably going to the church more on a regular basis, we didn't really talk about it collectively like that. I don't think in my household as a, there wasn't much, like, say, homophobic talk. It was just within the community, it wasn't really heard of or discussed, or you didn't really know of anyone that was gay or homosexual. So it always felt like it was, it belonged to another culture almost. Can, and it wasn't ours.
What culture would your family say that it belonged to?
White people.
Okay. And why is that?
I think just because of a, whether it's the images or just how, it's probably the image of things you see on TV, the media, it just wasn't visual growing up in our community. So it was hard to associate anyone that was gay and from the Caribbean or from Jamaica in particular. So it was just seen as somebody else's culture, not ours.
And do you think that, okay, I guess a couple of things here. So if you hear that that isn't, that being gay, queer, whatever, isn't part of your culture, and you hear that it's something that you, it's a learnt behaviour then from another culture, and you are not of that culture, how does that, like, how, talk about maybe like how that makes you feel?
Yeah, kind of, I suppose in a way, it feels that you've become anglicised, or westernised. Or you hang out too much with them people and that's why you're like that, and you're not, say, Jamaican enough, or you're not black enough, or you're not, you know.
And how does that feel for you specifically? Because at the start of this conversation, you spoke very adamantly about how you feel quite, like, maybe not in Jamaica, but here you feel quite...
I suppose, yeah, you feel... Come back to that note. Again, where you felt aware, you felt, you obviously you want to do your parents proud, and they came over here and they worked hard to maintain the culture, maintain and to pass over some, let's say, things that they were brought up on, and you want to carry on, you want to continue with that and continue with that sort of philosophy and how they were, how they are, should I say. And by you doing something that they don't see it in their culture, or in our culture, you feel like you're selling out almost, and yeah, so you just feel a bit away.
Big thanks to Simone for talking to us today, and thank you to you all for listening. Remember that you can continue the conversations at Rachel Ray MCK on Twitter. Bye.